Welcome to the Point Forward podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinels, J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
The Point Forward podcast, Milwaukee Bucks chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the weekly show, and on the other line, as always, is Jim Ozarski, Milwaukee Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He was in Philadelphia catching one of the more entertaining games of the year for the Milwaukee Bucks. On Wednesday night, the Bucks head into overtime, beat the Philadelphia 76ers. That is your Eastern Conference front runner. Granted, they did not have Joel Embiid, but they were kind of an ugly game, turned into a pretty exciting game in the second half in overtime. And lots to talk about from that game. There is a trade that we have to talk about, Jim. I don't know where to begin. All I know is I'm celebrating this podcast by sitting down on the floor, arms folded, and looking around at my surroundings, just as our friend Giannis Antetokounmpo did in overtime. That seems to be the thing a lot of people are talking about. Lots of storylines here. But Giannis and Dwight Howard, man. I mean, you were there, so you kind of got to overhear what was going on as they were jawing at each other during the game. But this is the birth of, I think, a pretty great rivalry. The two teams that might be the two best teams in the East, or definitely two of the top three. Tell me everything you saw there. What's going on? What your impression of the proceedings were?
Yeah, I mean, look, this game has been circled on the calendar, JR, since the first half schedule came out, and it's been a long time since for these teams to finally meet. It was not pretty for a half. I mean, I think the Bucks were shooting 5% from the 3-point line at one point and scored 31 points in the first half. So,
dude, that was a terrible first half of basketball. I mean, I guess you could call it defensive minded or whatever, but it was bad. Oh man, it was horrible.
Yeah, so, but, with that, it ends in overtime. You're right, you have a trade where, three players for the Bucks go through the pregame warm-up and then are told to go back to the locker room, and, the Howard and Giannis stuff at the end. Yeah, it was, I don't think in basketball regular season games kind of ever live up to the hype. This was nationally broadcast. You're right, no Joel Embiid, but I think when you add all those elements together, it was something. And the fact, JR, this was just the second game that fans were allowed into the Wells Fargo Center. So you had a really rowdy, I mean, not that Philly crowds need a reason or that they wouldn't be rowdy, but I mean, they've been waiting. So it just all kind of came together. You're right, for a game that hit on, on court, off court, personality stuff. It was everything you could have wanted. And if you're a Bucks fan, the team won.
109-105, in fact, they won. Some dramatics at the end of regulation, which we'll talk about. But to get back to this, I don't know if we're calling it a feud, with Giannis celebrating by sitting down on the court, I feel like that might have been a nod to his soccer roots a little bit. One of the players that Giannis has met, I don't want to butcher his name, Mbappe, the French star. He goes to the ground every time he scores a goal, so I don't know if that was what was in his head. But, when we talked about Giannis's just overall general attitude and how it's lighter, how he seems to be having more fun, and he echoed that on the post-game Zoom conference, which meandered into discussion about cheesesteaks at one point. He obviously talked about this moment and said, look, I'm just trying to have fun. And that, for me, and I think for Bucks fans, makes perfect sense. Clearly, Dwight Howard saw it a little bit differently. He was not, Dwight Howard's a demonstrative guy. He's a little eccentric at times over the course of his career, but he clearly wasn't totally a fan of that maneuver, pointing to the fact that these two teams are going to meet two more times. So this could be a to-be-continued situation. But, I mean, in the moment, did you think, oh, man, what has Giannis done? He just sat down on the court. That's going to get people upset. Or did you just feel like that was spirit of the moment sort of thing? I mean, how did you interpret it when you were watching it?
Yeah, so let's rewind it a little bit. So for fans, there was some, I did put out some video pregame of Dwight Howard trying to get the crowd revved up. I mean, he was, trying to perform some dunks pregame in their layup line, which was actually kind of cool to see. I mean, former dunk champion kind of going in the way back machine there. And then the game starts and he's, he swats Bryn Forbes and he's doing the no motion to the crowd. And, Giannis said he didn't really have a whole lot of fun the first half. I mean, he was 1 for 4, 4 points. And for him, it was about getting to a fun place. And yes, in overtime, ends up, you know, sitting down. Actually, Zora Stevenson, a Fox Sports Wisconsin JR, asked him if that was soccer based, and he said he had no idea anyone did that after goals, so it didn't cross his mind. He's like, I don't even know why I did it. I just did. And yeah, you know, Howard post game was asked about it and actually dropped a wrestling move. And I don't know if Dwight Howard is so aware that like the Bucks liked to do wrestling type of actions in some pregame huddles. I don't know. That might be a little too much credit for Dwight Howard being aware of some things, but said he wanted to drop a stone cold stunner on Giannis. Was like, oh, okay. And then, you know, he deadpanned it, at first I thought he was joking, and maybe he still is. So yeah, we'll see in Philadelphia. That should be interesting. But Giannis said, look, that's where he's been going. You know, not that he's never not intense, but he's trying to have that element. And even Chris Middleton said it's in fun, and he had hoped, you know, Philly wouldn't take it the wrong way. And I guess we'll find out. It'll be a talking point when Philadelphia comes to Fiserv at the end of April.
At the end of regulation there, did you think in real time, this is sort of a maddening, joyful game for Bucks fans, because you had the first half where, you know, it was 31 points or whatever it was at halftime. You had a point in time where they kind of seized control of the game. It really felt like they were going to win this thing in regulation. Very exciting fourth quarter. And then there's these final moments, starting with Chris Middleton not getting fouled like I think he thought he was going to with 5 seconds left, driving in for a layup that made it a three-point game, where it sort of looked in the moment like all he had to do was pass it or continue dribbling, and he could potentially use up the clock. Now, he didn't do that. Philly was able to inbound. Dante DiVincenzo goes for the steal and winds up allowing his man, Korkmaz, to have a wide-open three-pointer that ties the game just before the buzzer. You know, all's well that ends well if you're a Bucks fan. They ended up going on to win the game, but in the moment, did those things strike you immediately as just kind of surprising? What was some of the chatter afterwards about that? Because I have to think that's kind of maddening. Like, the Bucks had that game and they just handed it away for a second. Obviously, they end up taking it back, but that was just a crazy sequence of events.
Yeah, I mean, if things go differently in overtime, we're talking about how do you blow a 7-point lead with 52 seconds left? You know, I mean, that's what they did. So the Middleton thing, I think he and Mike Budenholzer felt he was fouled on the gather and thought, you know, he was just continuing on for an and-one. Obviously, it didn't happen. I think, you know, for Chris Middleton, his intention was to not be trapped. So he clearly was going to make a move to the basket or away from that sort of dangerous half-court you know, boundary scenario. But I think they thought they were going to get fouled. Maybe they felt they were. And so, you know, he finished. I think one of those plays where you just sort of expect the officials to make the call because that's what Philly looked like they were doing. It didn't happen. Now, the DiVincenzo thing is probably more concerning, and I'm sure, you know, in film sessions on Thursday, you know, he's going to be told that's not what you do. Post game, Mike Budenholzer said, well, you know, Dante's aggressive and he's a competitor and we love that about him. But I mean, Doc Rivers flat out said, he's like, they went for the steal. That helped us out. You know, it gave the kid from Philadelphia all the time in the world. And as our listeners, I'll apologize. I did not ask DiVincenzo about his kind of headspace on trying to make that play. So he was not asked that question in his post game. Obviously a lot going on and since it did affect the game, but it didn't affect the outcome in the Bucks, it just kind of got lost. So, you know, we don't know exactly what he was thinking, but we can presume it. I mean, he clearly thought he could get a hand on the ball and missed. And it gave Philadelphia wide open set corner three, and compliments to them for making it. So that's kind of how the end of regulation went. Again, end of overtime, same kind of deal, JR. I mean, 7-point lead, 71 seconds left, and all of a sudden it's free runs to the rim, and Philly's got a shot. So, I think late, for as good as the Bucks were defensively in the second half, I think those kind of moments, if there's teaching points, I'm sure the coaches today are like, hey, guys, this can't happen. Or if they are going to make baskets, at least make them work a little harder than the Sixers had to do in those final moments.
Bucks win their fifth consecutive game. They have been hot coming out of the All-Star break, beat the Wizards twice since we last podcast, and opened up with a convincing win over the New York Knicks. I think what's good is that the Bucks pretty much, I guess there were anxious moments in those Wizards games, but for the most part, the Bucks look like the better team through and through. That has proven out. They are a game and a half out of first place now in the Eastern Conference. The Nets pull into a tie with Philadelphia, so these three teams right now, I think, are going to be the three you're looking at battling the rest of the way. You've got the Heat. The Heat have snuck up into fourth place already, but they are 4.5 games behind the Bucks at this point. So before we get to maybe mentioning anything from those other games, I don't even know if there is anything, but we have to talk about this trade. Kind of funny, on our last podcast, we discussed briefly the possibility of the Bucks acquiring PJ Tucker, formerly of the Rockets, very defensive-minded presence, a guy who can guard bigs, most importantly. And you had said, and I think it's a fair thought process, they kind of already had what PJ Tucker could give you, assuming Torrey Craig could be used on a regular basis, or DJ Augustine as that guard, and the Bucks in fact decide they'd like Tucker in the mix, so they are able to swing a deal that involves a bunch of draft picks. But DJ Augustine and DJ Wilson both go the other direction, and then Torrey Craig gets sent to Phoenix in a separate deal that I imagine has a lot to do with salary cap machinations. Just off the top, just give me your thoughts on this. They've got an elite defender now, assuming this becomes official. I don't believe as we record this it is yet completely official, but they've got this elite defender. I do think it makes them better. I guess it remains to be seen how much better. It seems like they're also kind of just saying, yeah, the Augustine Torrey Craig thing didn't work out, and we're willing to admit it here in March of this first year with them and say, look, we got to move on. Give me your reaction to this.
Yeah, well, credit to John Horst for, pulling something out of his hat here. I know last time we talked about this. Obviously there was a lot of smoke around PJ Tucker and the Bucks for weeks. So, he had to find a way to make that happen. And I think it's not about DJ Wilson and DJ Augustine. It was about the ability to sort of maneuver the draft picks. So from Houston's perspective, that's what they wanted. They were able to kind of get a first rounder this coming draft out of the Bucks. They moved another pick from 2022 to 23. It's all super convoluted. But I think for Houston, that was the core part. DJ Wilson, look, they're going to be able to let him play, and maybe much to Bucks fans' chagrin, can you imagine Christian Wood and DJ Wilson, scoring, combining for 35 a game for the Rockets down the stretch. But, and DJ Augustin, I think that was a win for John Horst for Houston to take on that contract. I thought really that would be immovable, to be honest, JR. And look, at the end of the day, somebody's got to play. Somebody has to, they have to field a roster, and maybe that's just part of that. DJ Augustine is going to be that veteran for a clearly rebuilding Rockets team. So now Tucker is interesting. Yeah, for whatever reason, they decided Torrey Craig is not the guy. And clearly it had been trending in that direction. So they traded him to Phoenix for cash. And so PJ Tucker now slots in as the wing defender, 6'5", 220, 35 years old. That's the question. Was he, checked out in Houston? He hasn't played in a week once the team and him decided to, quote unquote, mutually part ways. Was some of the, a little bit of the downtick in stats and play, was that age, disinterest? We'll find out soon. Now that said, very good, pick and roll defender. When it comes to switching, which for Bucks listeners, that's really what this is about. It's about if Brook Lopez has to be off the court, can they still defend and switch on bigger players if Giannis is your quote unquote five? Maybe Tucker's the five, but PJ Tucker's still very good at defending the roll man on pick and rolls. He's very good in isolation defense. Remains so. He's elite, actually, in terms of NBA stats and synergy stats on handoff defense. You know, so some of that stuff that the Bucks have been okay at, but really their bigs haven't been, he brings that. Offensively, look, people know this, JR. You know, once Mike D'Antoni got to Houston, basically, you know, James Harden and those guys would do their thing, and PJ Tucker would sit in the wing. I think, you know, our buddy Eric Name over at The Athletic posted a clip where he sat in the corner for 10 seconds of a possession waiting for the ball. Well, that's not going to happen with the Bucks. The Bucks don't just like sit around. So that I'm curious how he'll adapt to the way the Bucks get threes. Cause I just, they don't play that way where you could just have a man just out of the flow, you know? Look, he's going to play 15, 16, maybe 20 minutes, depending on the matchups. And that's the gamble, that he is still interested, still has that elite level defense. So when the Bucks go small, they can do the things defensively that Bucks fans have been clamoring for, that they've been working on. And they thought Torrey Craig wasn't it. And so, yeah, offensively we'll see too. I think the next question, I know I'm going on here for a minute here, JR, but the next question is, backup point guard. Well, look at the way they've been running stuff. I mean, Giannis plays more point than Drew Holiday. Let's be real about it. So I think they're okay with if Drew Holiday's on the bench, if Giannis runs the show. Now, I know that might get some people twitchy, but that's what's been happening. So I could see that continuing. Chris Middleton's going to initiate, and occasionally Dante DiVincenzo is going to initiate. So the cash consideration for Craig might allow for that sort of buyout guy to come in. But again, this goes back to, you know, is it an Isaiah Thomas? Is it some other? I mean, again, what are we talking about? A 10 to 12 minute backup point guard. You know, PJ Tucker's the key part of this. And if they bring in another ball handler, that's strictly, you know, I have a hard time thinking that guy is going to be, you know, the true difference maker, kind of like we said last podcast.
Yeah, Isaiah Thomas, you've seen his name floated about now a little bit, and he's been out of the game for a short time, so you don't know, you know, what's really left there. It's certainly a name guy that people will be excited about, but it remains to be seen if he would, you know, if he'd want to be here for that limited amount of, you know, floor time in addition to just getting back into the groove of things. I have to think they are going to add a guard, like you said, those cash considerations. I mean, they're not just going to sit there. They're gonna add somebody here, a buyout ring chaser, so to speak. I got to think it will be a guard, but I guess I don't know. The other thing PJ Tucker adds that the Bucks maybe haven't had in the playoffs the last couple of years is sort of that guy with the edge, you know? And I think we thought maybe Torrey Craig would be that. I don't know if that's primarily why he was here. But you know, PJ Tucker has a reputation as being a guy who's going to get in your face. And, you know, we talked about guys like Giannis. I mean, he's having fun. They're having fun out there, but you don't have somebody who's going to get in someone's face when things get really tense in a 6-7 game playoff series. It might be nice to have somebody who can mix it up a little bit and, you know, keep your star players sort of protected in a way. I don't know if that's part of the calculus here or not. I don't know. Give me your thoughts on that. And then maybe just one last thought then on Torrey Craig too. I don't know if this is really related to my first question, but I just wonder, as you try to explain why it didn't work out with Torrey Craig, what are you going to say to people? How do you sort of describe the Torrey Craig era in Milwaukee Bucks basketball? It just feels like the type of thing that should have worked out, could have worked out, and I can't really grasp onto why it didn't.
Yeah, that one I think I'll answer first because that's a mystery. Unless Torrey, you know, I'm sure he'll meet with the Phoenix media and maybe we'll hear from him. I mean, in this Zoom format, I mean, normally we would have heard from him plenty, you know, going to the locker room after a game, seeing how he's feeling, where his headspace is, what he's being told. We never got that chance. I mean, the Bucks, you know, didn't make him available. And you know, quite frankly, the way they were playing, he wasn't really a factor. So it was almost in a way, you know, why would you talk to him? You're right. It didn't make sense on a lot of levels. PJ Tucker is the same kind of guy. And to transition to your first point about sort of attitude and makeup, I can't say that about Torrey Craig because I literally don't know. We didn't see him play enough. I mean, we know the film. We know that he is guarded and defended well from Donovan Mitchell to Dame Lillard to, you know, threes and fours in the Western Conference Finals or playoffs. I mean, you have to have a bit of a mentality to be that kind of guy. PJ Tucker has that mentality. He's going to bring that. No one stops LeBron James and Kevin Durant, but he's made, you know, he sticks his nose in there and makes himself known. And look, I think Drew Holiday's that kind of defender. You know, Giannis has that intensity. We talked about Bobby Portis. You know, he is not that kind of defensive player, but he does have that edge. So, yeah, I think there is something to, you know, like when Giannis headbutts, you know, a guy in the bubble, you're kind of like, we talked about this too with Bobby Portis way back in an earlier podcast, right, JR? Like, he can't be the one setting that tone, you know, like he can't be the one that's, and I'm not saying someone's going to get under his skin and someone's going to, you know, fight him or whatever, anything like that. But let's spin it forward to April 24th at or 22nd at Fiserv Forum, and Joel Embiid and Dwight Howard, and they're getting physical and yeah, those are 7-footers. But you know, you want other guys like Drew Holiday. He was giving it to the Sixers fans, and yeah, you know, as he said, I want to beat those guys. Like these are guys who kind of have that, whatever that is, right? And PJ Tucker clearly comes with that reputation, and you know, it's clearly welcome and something that they've tried to find.
Let's talk some more about Giannis. It's my favorite thing to do on this podcast. And you had mentioned a while back you had some takes on the MVP layout. Well, let's get into them a little bit, because Giannis has played unbelievably well. He had 3 straight triple doubles coming into this game, which was, I believe that's a Bucks franchise record, which kind of surprises me because I feel like Oscar had a triple double pretty much every other game, but maybe not. And then he comes into this game and he absolutely takes over late after I thought he was bottled up. I mean, you said it, one of 4 in the first half, like things were not going well. And he ended up being a big difference maker, of course. The MVP is and we've said this on millions of podcasts and millions of places, it's a narrative-based award. It doesn't necessarily mean you had the best stats or the best season. It's a lot about the story around it. And I personally felt coming into the year that there's really nothing Giannis could do, especially if the Bucks weren't the top team in the East again. There's really nothing he could do to win it a third time. Voter fatigue, if it's a thing, would be in play there. And furthermore, if the Bucks take a step back and finish third or second in the East, I don't know how you can say that they had the most valuable player, because they basically went backward from where they were last year and the year before. But all that on the table, Giannis is still playing out of his mind, and you cannot discount him. Joel Embiid has now missed 10 games for the Sixers. Injuries are always going to be part of his story, and he's still a monster and absolutely deserves the acclaim and the attention in the MVP race. But, you know, if the Bucks catch the Sixers, I don't know if you can really say that, you know, Joel Embiid should still be ranked ahead of Giannis. And there's the usual suspects, James Harden, LeBron James, they're always going to come up. But give me your takes on the MVP race and where Giannis Antetokounmpo fits into the picture.
Well, it is a top-down award, you know, and team success does matter. I think, you know, Utah is the best team in basketball right now, but they are the team. And for as good as Donovan Mitchell has been, I don't think anyone thinks he's the most valuable player of the league. Same thing with Phoenix. I don't think Chris Paul, for as big a difference as he has made there, again, very good team. Those guys might get, you know, third place votes for, you know, stuff like that. I had, you know, before this latest injury, I had Embiid at the top of my list, just because he had been with the 76ers from start to finish. Meaning, you know, James Harden started somewhere else, not in the, and But yeah, I think if he's going to miss, look, he's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks with this bone bruise.
Yeah, this could be a long-term thing.
Yeah. And look, he's a guy who clearly, you know, they want to make sure all of him is working, the feet, the knees. So, look, I'm not saying he's not going to come back and continue to play the way he has. And look, he's shooting 42% from the three-point line. That's insane, right? Can you imagine if Giannis was hitting 38% from three? I mean, yeah. So
he'd,
credit
he'd be,
to
he'd be a four-time NBA champion. I mean, he'd be the death star for other teams.
So credit to Embiid the way he has played, you know, in his 30 games. But you're right. He is now racking up the missed games. Kevin Durant, same boat. I thought early in the year he was above Giannis in my sort of rankings, but Durant has missed a ton of games. So now where are we at? LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard. But honestly, I think Jimmy Butler is going to play his way into this conversation if the Heat keep doing their thing. But right now, JR, I got to say, it's hard. I mean, since he's averaging almost a triple-double since February, running the point, Durant's been out. I mean, he has been so good. and Brooklyn continues to win. Not that the Bucks haven't, but again, it's I think Harden is that kind of guy right now. I'd say Giannis and LeBron are my 2A, 2B. And Harden's number one. I think Kawhi would then Joker. I mean, Denver finally, that's the other thing. You know, Jokic, Denver was kind of 500 for a while. I mean, Jokic is having just a tremendous season. If somehow the Nuggets kind of leapfrog the LA teams, and look, they're only a couple games out in the loss column, you might see Jokic get more momentum too. So it's a crowded top 3-4 right there, JR. But I think Giannis is in that mix, especially if they can get to the one seed. Look, they're only a game out. And a lot of this, you mentioned narratives and things of that nature. if the Bucks handle business and sweep the 76ers, sweep Brooklyn, they go 5-0 in those games. It's a real conversation for three straight. First time since Larry Bird.
Yeah, the Lakers, they've won three straight, but they've been kind of stuck in neutral here a little bit. Similar to the Bucks, I mean, the Bucks are only one game behind them. If there was a master standings list, they'd only be one game back of the Lakers, and that's, to me, kind of eye-opening. It tells you, first of all, that the Bucks are playing well right now, but it's not like the Lakers hit that additional gear that we thought they would hit. They've obviously had their own injury issues with Anthony Davis, but I don't know if LeBron is going to be the unquestioned, you know, he's not going to emerge to the forefront necessarily. I agree with you on Harden. I think for the Bucks, it'd be better at this point. It sure looks better if the Nets would be the number one seed. If the Bucks can't get to the number one, it would be nice if the Nets were, so that the Bucks could face off with the Nets in the Eastern Conference Finals and not sooner. You really probably don't want to face both the Nets and 76ers if you don't have to. So that's, you know, I think the Nets right now are probably the tougher matchup for everybody. I mean, they've won six in a row too. Bucks can't get any separation from them because they just keep winning. James Harden is on fire. Anything else we didn't touch on from these other games? The Wizards game, the Knicks game right out of the break. Anything that caught your mind that you want to make sure we touch on before we look forward a little bit?
No, I think, you know, winning 9 of 10 or 10, whatever it is now, for the Bucks has been important. Philadelphia, that was the best win of all of them to go with the Clippers. You know, other than that, they've been beating up on crap teams, and that's what they should do. So I think, but winning in the different ways since Holiday has come back, you know, I know we've mentioned this before, but I think for this particular team, JR, it was all about building, right? And getting to May playing their best. And we said this, you win. Beat the good teams along the way. Like, yeah, you could say it doesn't matter if they lose or whatever, but you still, in order to feel like this team can make it to the finals, can beat Brooklyn and Philadelphia in the playoffs, you want to see it in the regular season. And, you know, yeah, maybe Memphis went down to the wire and maybe Washington kept it close. But at the end of the day, they won those games. And then they also beat the Clippers, and they also beat Philadelphia playing good offense and defense at the end of these games. So in general, I would say you're seeing some of the progress that we had called for them to make. And so I'll give them that credit.
Yeah, it's a different looking Bucks team right now. They are home for five consecutive games, starting with San Antonio on Saturday night. There'll be a higher capacity at Pfizer Forum. Things are going to ratchet up a little bit in terms of fan attendance. That's sure to make things, you know. I mean, you talked about Dwight Howard being excited to have the fans there, and the Bucks will be too. It's gonna get a little bit better here over the next few weeks, and hopefully by the playoffs we can be, you know, knock on wood, we might see half full arenas. I mean, that might be too much to ask, but hopefully we can get to some semblance of actual playoff atmosphere when the playoffs roll around. Jim, I think that's good. Unless you have any last thoughts, we can let you go, my friend.
Yeah, no, looking forward to another stretch at home, and then, you know, big West Coast swing at the end of the month, JR. I know we'll podcast before then, but it's all about enjoying the present, but looking ahead, and clearly the Bucks have some really good tests coming up here. And but yeah, you're right, Pfizer, look, having the fans back, I will say this, I think Philadelphia had like 3,000. When you go from zero people, like I experienced at in these NFL stadiums and at some of these early arenas I traveled to start this Bucs season, JR, 3,000 sounds like a ton. If it's five, whatever it may be, so I'll ride with the players and coaches on this one. I'm kind of glad the people are back because it truly creates an atmosphere. Really does.
Bucks fans are going to need their naps, as you mentioned, that West Coast trip. I believe the first five of these games all start at 9 o'clock Central Time. You've got Clippers, Lakers, Trailblazers, Kings, Warriors, close it out with the Mavericks, all on the road, all on the coast, with obvious exception being Dallas. That is going to be a grinder. I said it on the last podcast. At the end of that road trip, I think we will have the ultimate crystal clear picture of what we have with this Milwaukee Bucks team. And right now, things look good. Find everything Jim Ozarski has to say about the Milwaukee Bucks at jsonline.com. Check out the deals we're running, constantly offering good deals at jsonline.com/deal. Sign up for a subscription to the Journal Sentinel, to the online edition of the Journal Sentinel. Lots of sports content therein. NCAA March Madness, as you know, is now pretty much underway. The NBA season is only going to get better. The baseball season is about to begin. So this is a great time to sign up at jsonline.com/deal. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. Find me on Twitter at J-R-R-A-D-C-L-I-F-F-E. You can find him, Jim Ozarski, at Jim O-W-C-Z-A-R-S-K-I. Thanks for joining us, Jim. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Sounds good.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward Podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.